The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to God, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, beloved, through our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. Now, Matthew and Mark and Luke all tell the story beginning at dawn. But this Easter morning, we hear John's rendition of the resurrection, and he begins a little differently. John begins earlier. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. I wonder why she came so early. While it was still dark. I wonder if she couldn't sleep and she had had it with trying. I wonder if she'd celebrated the Passover, if she had idled away the Sabbath hours crying and frightened and confused. I wonder if it was risky for her to be out by herself after all the events of the last days. I wonder if she just didn't care anymore and couldn't stop herself from going. So in the wee hours of the morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. Now, tombs in that time, in that region, were small caves, holes in the rock, low to the ground with an opening covered by a stone, and inside were shallow shelves, something like bunks where the body would be rested until the flesh decomposed and the bones could be collected by the loved ones for safekeeping. As John tells it, Jesus' friends had worked hard to find a suitable tomb and to prepare his body before Passover began on Friday evening. Remember Nicodemus? He's the one who showed up again on Friday, lugging 100 pounds of burial spices. Then it was Saturday, the Sabbath, the day of rest, and Passover too. And finally, Mary came to the tomb while it was still dark. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote in the Huffington Post, "Whatever happened to Jesus between Saturday and Sunday, it happened in the dark, with the smell of damp stone and dug earth in the air. It happened where no one but him could talk about it later. And he didn't talk about it, at least not so anyone could explain it to anyone else." Dear friends in Christ, this morning as our alleluias ring out, I invite you into the dark hours when Mary ventured to the tomb, amazed and disturbed all at once. In the dark, at the tomb, I am convinced this is where resurrection begins for most of us. In the dark, we sleep on decisions and pray that we'll wake with fresh wisdom. In the dark earth, seeds emerge. In the dark, healing happens. Our bodies are quietly knit back together. In the dark, we slowly sense that we can go on, and even as we face tremendous loss or change. In the dark, reaching out, however tenuous, we grasp a hand and we name the pain and we begin to heal. So whether literal dark or the dark night of the soul, this is where resurrection begins. A few of you may have been in Washington, D.C. last Saturday at the March for Our Lives, the rally against gun violence that was organized by the students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Plenty more of you, though, were in St. Paul, and I've been watching the reports and reading along with plenty of others. Senior Emma Gonzalez, one of the student organizers and a strong voice in that movement, had her cell phone timer running all during her speech. 6 minutes and 20 seconds. That's how long the shooting lasted. And in this beautiful, deeply moving, relational way, Emma named all those who had died, beginning 6 minutes and 20 seconds, and my friend Carmen would never complain to me about piano practice. And she continued, naming all the rest of those who died in this beautiful, relational way. And then Emma Gonzalez stood still and silent, completely still, tears on her cheeks, eyes fixed in the distance across the heads of those hundreds of thousands of young people. And Emma Gonzalez stood in silence. And the crowd stood in silence, tear-streaked faces, some people holding hands, eyes shaded from the midday sun. occasional chance, a little uncomfortable, a little more silence. It's hard. It is very hard to stand in silence and in grief and in resistance at the tomb in the dark. But Emma Gonzalez did. Until 6 minutes and 20 seconds had finally passed. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. I believe that's what Emma Gonzalez did in her speech, in what she said and in what she didn't say, in her silence, in her tears. She went to the tomb. She took us in the dark to the tomb. Resurrection, dear friends, begins in the dark at the tomb. Mary knew that as much as any of us know anything in our pain. Resurrection begins in the dark. Emma Gonzalez knows that. Resurrection begins in the dark at the tomb. That's where we begin. That's where we begin, but resurrection isn't the end of the story. Oh, I know, Jesus dies, Jesus is raised. What more can we say? It's Easter morning, right? But as Caroline Lewis writes, resurrection isn't the end of the Jesus story. It isn't the end of God's story. It isn't the end of our story. Resurrection is just the beginning. Jesus recognizes Mary, sees her, knows her, loves her. Mary, he says, beloved Mary. Like we are recognized, like we are known, like we are loved by our Savior. And then Jesus goes on. Jesus goes on ahead of them, ahead of us, saying, I'm going to my God and to your God. Weaving us into relationship and into new trust and into deeper community and into beloved community, sometimes in surprising and unexpected and even uncomfortable ways. When the world sees death and despair and impossibility, we are called again in the dark to the tomb, to practice in that space of pain this Easter morning, but really every day, tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, to practice what Wendell Berry writes and calls practice resurrection. To practice resurrection. That's how we'll be witnesses, dear ones, as we practice resurrection. In 1965, Rabbi Abraham Heschel marched with Dr. King between Selma, Alabama, and Montgomery. Rabbi Heschel wrote, I felt my legs were praying. I felt my legs were praying. Oh, this resurrection, this new life, it is embodied. And our prayers, our justice making, our Jesus love must be so embodied in our hands and in our feet and in our legs and in our own blessed and broken bodies. Brown and black and peachy pink. For as Reverend King and Rabbi Heschel knew so well, it's not done yet. It is not done yet. So if our calling is anything, it is to be witnesses, to dare to name both the places of death and the places of resurrection in our lives and the lives of those around us. To point out God still at work in our midst, where death and fear and isolation could have the last word, at the tomb, in the dark, resurrection love triumphs. And that may seem crazy, and it may seem impossible. Our role is to simply witness to what we experience. Community is being reborn, forgiveness, finding flesh, truth, hard truth, uttered and heard. The honest complexity of life honored and held at the tomb in the dark, trusting that there the risen Jesus meets us again, not just on Easter morning with all the beautiful music and the flowers, but tomorrow and the day that follows also. So then my role, our role truly, is to simply witness resurrection. Resurrection, dear friends, begins in the dark at the tomb, but that isn't the end of the story. It's just the beginning. Amen.